evening. Welcome to Ram Nation Radio. It's our very first show dedicated to full coverage of the Colorado State Rams here on AM 1550 KDCO Denver, FM 94.1 and FM 96.9 in Boulder. That is Mile High Sports Radio. Hi, I'm Mark Knutson. I'm here to introduce the gentleman behind the very popular 15-year-old website, ramnation.com. He'll be your host for this program for the rest of the school year, Mr. Joel Cantalamessa. Good morning, Joel. Good afternoon. Good morning. It's almost morning. In a few hours, it'll be morning.
How you doing, Mark?
I'm well.
Hey, thanks to Mile High Sports and to you for helping setting this up, and to all of our sponsors who helped make this possible. I know this is the only show like it on air, so to be able to give a 1 hour of dedicated CSU talk per week is going to be really exciting and fun, and we basically bring a speaking format to what's already out there on the web.
Yeah, you've been doing this for 15 years on RamNation.com, and CSU fans in the region all know your website. If you haven't been to it, you're either lying or you're not a CSU fan, one or the other, because it's the voice box. It's the fans' forum for talking about CSU issues. You've been doing this for 15 years. What made you start RamNation.com?
Well, let's see, 99 about is kind of when message boards and sports talk and all that stuff started blowing up on the internet. And there was a really obscure message board community where you could basically go in and create a message board for whatever piece of content or subject matter that you wanted to. And then people would, you know, find that, you know, they'd do a search for whatever they wanted to talk about and, you know, they would grow this community. Well, someone had actually happened to create a site for CSU fans. There was probably really only, you know, 30 to 40 people that ever came in there at a, you know, on a given, you know, week or something like that. So it was a really small knit group. But I was very involved with it because, you know, I was a very passionate fan. And as the weeks and months went by, and those are back in the CSU heydays when CSU was really good. So it was, you know, we had a lot of good discussions. I was approached by a company called Sports War, and they're based out in Virginia. And they said, hey, I see you're very active on the site, and I think that there's a niche for and a need for a CSU website. Would you want to have us build one and you basically take it over? And I said, well, yeah, I don't really know anything about coding a website or how to run a website, but if you do it, I'll run it. And so that's basically how it started. They built it and I cultivated the community. And, you know, within the first year of having that new site, we went from 40 users to hundreds of users and now thousands of users and then tens of thousands of users. And so it's been an amazing growth.
And that's before websites were considered part of the mainstream media. I mean, you couldn't get a press credential writing for a website back then like you can now. I mean, but you're a product of CSU Sports Information. Obviously, you have a degree from CSU in journalism, I assume.
Yep.
So you were leaving the accepted media that you'd trained in to going to the brand new online media, which, again, was not accepted at the time, but has obviously become that.
Well, and I got to say, it was never my full-time job. It was always just a passion and a hobby of mine. There was a point where we actually tried to take it to that next level and turn it into this legitimate media outlet. And, you know, we hired a staff and put together, you know, a staff of writers and did, you know, audio sound bites and produced a lot of good coverage. And ultimately, what we realized, and we were kind of before our time back then, was
Definitely. Was
that, you know, really people wanted just to come and discuss topics on the message board. And at the time, it was really hard to break through that barrier of charging people for online content. So we had a little bit of backlash and we, you know, we kind of turned some people away and ultimately we did away with the subscription. And we still do some content and exclusive content every now and then. But more, the main reason we have the site is basically to cultivate the community and give people a place to
come. It's a place where every article that's written on another site or another paper from around here is accessible on there, along with some original content. So it's a great spot. Now, what's the current buzz on there? Is the good start for the football team the buzz, or is the whole stadium topic the buzz? Which is, are they equal? What's the buzz right
there's
now?
There's both. And I will say, I mean, over the last 15 years, you go back to 15 years, it started off so great. And I will say, you know, those were the glory days when Sonny had everything going and it was 99, 2000. Even through 2002, everyone was in love with the Rams. It was a great following. There was very rarely any vitriol on the message boards and nobody bickering with each other because things were going well. And then we hit this dark period of bad football and bad basketball and just seemingly nothing would ever go right for Colorado State University athletics. And you're finally starting to see that turn around. But there was a period there where it got ugly. People turned on each other.
I remember.
The school wasn't so fond of the website anymore because, you know, at one point we were raising money for them. We were buying, raising money for, you know, video equipment for Sonny Lubick, and we were giving gifts to coaches and things like this, doing a lot of great stuff. And so we were in the good graces, and then it quickly turned when you have so much, you know, so many years of bad mouthing from fans. And but now we're starting to get back on the upswing where people are excited again. They're seeing light at the end of the tunnel, and there's good stuff to talk about. And one of them being the stadium, and one is being the good product on the football field. And obviously, basketball has also had a good upswing.
We have Kelly Lyle coming up in the second segment from Colorado, and we'll talk to him more about the whole stadium thing because he's right on top of every, I mean, to the minute, what's going on with that project. But I'm curious. The people that go on your website, the people that are loyal Ram Nation followers, I got to believe it's like 99% in favor of the stadium. Is that fair?
It's absolutely accurate. Yeah, there are, you know, you'll get a couple guys who are really good at kind of looking at both sides of the argument, just, you know, to play devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. But I think deep down, a lot of those guys also agree that this needs to be done. There's really, I think, only one or two that I've seen that be vocally against
it. Would that be the guy who's never been to Hughes Stadium?
Probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the couple people that have actually expressed the fact that we don't really need an on-campus stadium. I will accept their arguments because those I personally know a couple of them, and I know that they support CSU, and I know that they go to games. So their opinion is valid, and I will listen to that, and I will accept that and have a good debate about that. And I think people respect that as well.
I don't.
But it's those SOS people that some of them that you know have never gone to a game or don't really care about
the stadium,
CSU.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that, and that's the one that, you know, you're always seeing their name in the paper, and that's what rubs people the wrong way, and that's why it gets ugly with the supporters.
We should get one of them on the air and just tear them up. What do you think? Let's get one of those people to come on our show and just light them up.
I'm ready. Have
you ever been to a game there? No. Then how the heck are you going to argue that we should keep the place? You've never had to sit in a game there.
I truly believe it's people that are anti
growth.
Yeah. You know, there's people that are not big into athletics, and they don't want to see athletics become big. And, you know, there's people that also just want to argue for the sake of arguing.
That's true, too. What people who are against the stadium, and this is a topic we'll be talking from weeks to come, but what people who are against it don't seem to understand is there is no status quo. We can't just return to our lives and pretend we didn't ever bring this up and let's just keep things the way they are. That's not the way college athletics are working right now. It's ever evolving. The 4-team playoff and the Power 5 that we have right now, that's right now, but that's not 5 years from now. It'll look very different. I'm not, you know, we don't know how conference realignment will go, but there'll be more of that too. But just the general tenor of college athletics is going to change. You think all the other teams in the Mountain West are just going to sit pat here and just, you know, we'll just stay with what we got. And so CSU can stay near the upper half, top part of the Mountain West in football by not doing anything facility-wise, by not doing anything to improve. That's just stupid. I'm sorry, the only word for it is stupid. If you don't understand the importance of continuing to evolve and grow your program, and the next step for CSU is obvious. It's got to be an on-campus stadium. It's obvious. They've done the indoor facility. They've done all the other stuff. It's obvious. And Jack Graham saw it. Tony Frank sees it. Everybody sees it. If we don't do it, we're going to end up going backwards. We're not just going to stay where we're at.
Well, as you probably know, I was part of the initial effort for Be Bold, the pro stadium group.
Yep.
And back when we first started, you know, our efforts and kind of gathering information, I did an interview with Bob Kustra, the Boise State president.
Yep.
And it was a fascinating conversation. I mean, for one, the guy picked up his phone and was willing to talk to me for 45 minutes. So he's a fantastic guy, and he's a visionary. But one thing that really I came away with from that interview was that he said something about, you know, we strive for excellence in everything that we do. Why would we not strive for excellence in athletics? Mm-hmm. You know, he goes, I get some of those arguments from a little bit from our professors. It sounds like there it's way different than it is at CSU.
It's not, that place isn't known as an academic bastion.
But he's still, you know, from some of the people in the community, very few and far between, you know, the people that ever did bring it up to him about, you know, why would you put this much effort in athletics? He says, we strive for excellence in everything we do. Why would we leave athletics out of that? And some of these comments lately from President Dr. Frank are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, we've raised $550 million in 4.5 years. We way overdid our goal. And why on the athletic side would we shoot for anything less than that?
Have you been up there recently? Every dorm is brand new now. I mean, the places look spectacular. They've made facility improvements all over the place and not just athletically. This is the last piece to the puzzle in my mind. This is the piece, you know, obviously you got to pay off the whatever's left on the indoor facility. But man, you know, maybe you upgrade Moby at some point because that's getting up there, but it's not nearly as old as Hughes and it's also already on campus. So it just makes sense in every possible way, and the people who are against it are just short-sighted and not looking at the big picture, and probably, just like you said before, don't care about the athletics. It's not one of their things they're interested in.
Well, with the stadium, Dr. Frank has laid out these new four options.
Right.
And so I think it's been really interesting, this roller coaster. When he came out, he first wrote a letter to the students and the faculty on what he was thinking in advance of his meeting with the Board of Governors. And after he wrote that letter, you know, it kind of left some uncertainty in people's mind.
Yep.
And I think a lot of newspapers and such kind of ran with it.
Oh, some of the opponents jumped all over it. Hey, there's two new options to fix up that pig. Lipstick on that pig.
But you would see some headlines that said, you know, stadium a no-go, almost, mm-hmm. you know, kind of yeah. leading that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that next day I go to work, I'm, you know, walking, run into people. So the stadium's not going to happen. What mm-hmm. happened there? And that was such a misleading representation of what truly is happening. I think that people don't realize that, yes, Jack Graham was kind of a spearhead for this, but Dr. Frank has always wanted this new stadium. Mm-hmm. He's behind this 100%.
Yep.
And as long as he can come up with a model that works, then it's going to happen.
Right.
So it's been kind of a roller coaster in fans' minds. He then went and presented to the Board of Governors, and he laid out these four options. And if you ask me, I think that this fourth option with the public-private funding is probably going to be the angle they take. You know, I've heard a lot of conversations from various sources, and when you try to piece them all together, it seems like that's the route they want to go. It seems like the most viable, and maybe it's not and I think that that's also why you saw Jack Graham possibly forced out, because I don't think he agreed with going that fourth option, which I think is kind of what Dr. Frank is leaning towards. It's reading between the lines. And yes, Jack Graham maybe rubbed some people the wrong way. And
Jack just didn't like having a boss.
Didn't like having a boss. But ultimately, I think maybe he had a conflict with the fact that he did not want to share this project with an outside source. He wanted to try to get it all fundraised internally.
That could be. But again, both men have the same objective. That's a new stadium.
Yep.
Both men want it. And that's why we can keep our fingers crossed that they could keep pushing it. Because, again, I've said this in print and I've also said it on the air. If they don't build it, McIlwain's gone at the end of the season. If the Board of Governors comes back in December and says, okay, we're going to fix up Hughes Stadium. Goodbye, Jim McIlwain. Goodbye, recruits that have been promised a new stadium. And we're back to square one, and we're one of the lower division teams in the Mountain West. Because right now, as things stand, you know, you've seen articles today, and we'll talk about this with Kelly, they have a shot at winning the Mountain West Conference. And if they win the Mountain West Conference without losing any more games and get into the rankings and end up, higher rated than an East Carolina or something like that, they're playing one of the big bowl games on New Year's Day. That's a guarantee. I mean, they've got a great opportunity in front of them. We'll just have to see what happens with it and if they'll take it and run with it, because fascinating game, obviously, tomorrow night in Reno. It's going to be a big, big test for this team. It'll be kind of a track meet. Expect a lot of points. Nevada likes to play basketball scores, but we'll talk with Kelly Lyle about that. Before we go to break, we'd like to thank a couple of our sponsors. Lionsgate Real Estate is on board. We appreciate them, along with Window World. And thank them both for supporting this program. And when we come back, we will be joined by Kelly Lyle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. We'll talk about the Nevada game. We'll talk about the stadium and everything else CSU related. So stay with us. This is Ram Nation Radio. Listen to 1550 AM KDCO, FM 94.1, FM 96.9 Boulder, Mile High Sports Radio.